Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Life podcast. I can't believe it. It's already episode 7. And if you're not up to date with the episodes, I invite you to go back and have a listen at all our wonderful guests so far. The podcast starts with my story and everything that led me here to creating this for you. Today's guest is the wonderful Nikki Clinch. And Nikki is one of those people that when she talks, you listen. She has this really unique quality about her that pulls you into the depths of the present moment. And it was a real honor to get to listen to her story. I know you guys are going to love this one. So enjoy, and I'll see you next week. Every Monday, there will be a new episode. So look forward to seeing you then. Nikki Clinch is a maturation coach, holistic counselor, author, mentor, and CEO. She's here to guide you through the powerful life-changing process of growing out of who you thought you were and into who you were always born to be, breaking free of your past, realizing your true authentic power, and living beyond your story. The process of maturation is a journey of transformational surrender, releasing and dissolving everything that you are not in order to allow you to become who you truly are. It wasn't always like this for Nikki. By the time she was 20, she hit rock bottom, severely underweight, addicted to everything, and crippled by shame and self-hate. Through transformational trainings, deep healing, plant medicine, and an awakening to the sacredness of her very existence, Nikki is now a renowned spiritual mentor, here to help women reclaim their power, heal their self-worth, and gain inner strength and trust. So Nikki, welcome to the podcast. I am truly honored and grateful to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And it's always really amazing to me to hear all of that, because I'm just sitting here going, oh, I'm just a human being. And isn't that an amazing journey? It's like, wow, that's really, it's such a powerful thing to keep hearing how far I've come and the journey that's been traveled. Because at the end of the day, you know, I'm committed to staying humble and never forgetting that I too am human. And that we are all on this journey, this similar journey. And it's very humbling to constantly just remember that all this stuff has happened, all this growth has happened, but really, you know, all we have is this moment, and we're two human beings together. And that is so, for me, that's so sacred to remember that always, you know.
And it's such a good reminder for all of us that, as you say, everyone has a unique journey and has this journey. And I feel like sometimes with people like you who are holding space and to others seem so wise and healed and awakened, it's such a beautiful reminder to us all that everyone has a journey. And so I would love for you to share a little bit more about your journey and what it is that's really led you to this place of who you are today and the work that you share.
I start by saying that I arrived in this world in a very dark way. And what I mean by that is that trauma began for me right in the womb. And I arrived into the world with a mentally ill mother and an addict father. And so for me, it was right off the start line for me, this experience of myself in the world where I didn't belong to anybody. I felt like I didn't belong to anybody, and that it was inherently an unsafe place. And so for me, you know, right from the beginning, walking into the shadow and finding the light has just been the pivotal lesson for me from the moment that I came out. And I look back on it now, I'm 43 now, and I realize that that is actually my place in this world, is to teach about this transmutation of shadow to light. You know, that's everything that I've lived through, experienced, felt, faced, has been that. And then of course that's what I teach, and that's what people come to me for. And so I arrived you know, in a lot of trauma. And, you know, surprise, surprise, trauma became my normal. Unsafety became my normal. I became a drug addict by the time I was 11. I was bulimic by the time I was 13. And my teens were just spent in a kind of a spiral of self-loathing and destruction. By the time I was 20, I was a crack addict. I was thousands of pounds in debt. I was very, very underweight. And I still remember it like yesterday, thinking, my God, how am I going to live another 40 years like this or 50 years like this? It felt like torture. And I would just wake up in the morning and realize that I had an entire lifetime ahead of me, and I would just break down. And I was only 20. So I really didn't know any other way or how to get out of this. So for me, it came down to either I'm not going to make it or I'm going to have to let go. Mm. And it was a very spiritual moment of grace where I was in my living room. I write about it in the book, surrounded by drug paraphernalia, you know, full of self-hate. And suddenly I just couldn't try anymore. And everything just let go. And I just cried on the living room floor. And I remember just saying to God, I really want to live this life, but I don't know how to do it. And it was my first moment of surrender for me. And that was the beginning of my journey. And, you know, within hours, I was in a doctor's office. Within days, I was in treatment. And I really did leave that life behind.
Wow.
The first 10 years of my journey was 100% dedicated to my own healing. It was my full-time job. And then after 10 years, I was so lucky to be alive and to have life that I went back to school and I trained, and I really realized that it was my purpose to help other people remember this gift of life that we get, and how to shift our relationship with this inherent internal suffering that so I don't know anybody that doesn't have it, and be able to start experiencing another level of power and freedom and peace inside ourselves. So, you know, my journey, I'm so grateful for all of it. I honestly say this to everybody, I wouldn't change any moment of it now. I look back on it because everything that I've been through has shaped who I have become. And when I sit with a human being and they are going to the root, I genuinely know what it feels like to be at that place. And it's such a beautiful thing to sit with a human being when you both know and you're safe together and you can hold that space. I find it an honor and a privilege to be able to do that.
And you really trace this moment of your journey back to that first surrender. Is that right?
Absolutely. It was an absolutely fundamental crossroads moment for me. I remember being on the floor, and it was like all the trying, all the ego, all the control, all the part of me that was trying to survive and be strong and do it my way, everything just let go. I was like, it was such an important moment to finally allow myself to just say, I really don't know how to do this. I thought I did.
You're making me cry.
I thought I did. I kept telling myself I do, but I don't know what I'm doing. Mm. And it was so humbling. And in that moment, it let go enough to let enough space for Source to come in, for something else to come.
Oh, Nikki, while I haven't been through at all what you've been through, I can resonate so deeply with that moment. And like you just saying that, that trying, and I'm trying, and I'm like doing my best, and I'm looking for all the answers. And then that, oh, like the surrender. And you know what, for me, which I speak about on the podcast a lot, and which I'm sure you know about, we've spoken about a little bit between us, is mine obviously came with really desperately trying to conceive and really wanting to have a baby, and through multiple rounds of IVF and disempowerment and loss of self and all these different things, but through trying and trying and going through all this medicalized route and trying again and failing and then having a miscarriage, it took for a friend to say to me, she said, all of this trying, like, it's not yours to do alone. Try, maybe, what about giving it up to God? And for the first time, really at the soul level, I understood surrender, because I knew for many years I needed to let go, I needed to surrender, but I felt so much guilt with surrender, like, oh my God, if I don't keep trying, then this spirit baby or this potential miracle and beautiful life that's going to come into our world is going to think that I don't want it because I'm not like devoted to this trying and this trying. And so with me, my part of my journey was like this guilt, guilt, guilt. I can't let go. I can't stop trying. And then when she said to me, it's not that you've like closed the door to it, like give it to God. And the weight that lifted off my shoulder and the way that I was then to open up to receive was just like literally the most transformational healing. As you said, like it was, it's been the start of this whole new chapter for me, like this rebirth of more pleasure, more love, and yeah, really deeply felt experience.
Yes. Oh, firstly, thank you for sharing that. I really feel you. And, you know, this is not, it's not easy, but after a while you realize it's so much more painful to hold on.
Yeah.
And because really, what are we holding on to? We're holding on to these pictures and stories and ideas of who we think we were meant to be.
And how it was supposed to be.
Think it was supposed to be. We literally even have pictures in our mind that are defining this path that we are so sure about is our way. And when we're so fixed on that way, which is all led by the mind, and everything in the mind is a memory bank. So when we're fixed that way, when there's no space for anything new, completely new to come through, like there's no space for anything beyond what is already in the memory bank. And who are we to decide who we are meant to become?
Yes.
You know, who are we to get in the way of God? Like genuinely, who are we to make that decision? And the one who's making that decision, are we sure that's who we are anyway? Like it's, it's, and it, that's why surrender is so universal. It's just the currency of human being. You know, it's the same lesson for all of us, just different details.
Yes.
That actually, can we get out of the way enough to trust life to show us?
Yeah, to trust ourselves to be able to move through it, you know? It's like, I think a lot of the fear that's created and the suffering is created is perpetuated by like the fear of like, we won't be okay. And I remember like deeply in my darkest hours of being like, giving myself timelines of like, honestly, if I a year ago now didn't have children, knew I didn't have children and wasn't pregnant, I would have said things like, I'll die. Or if after all of that medication and all of those treatment, if I wasn't pregnant, like how would I manage that? But hey, guess what? It's been, as you said, and I know this can be difficult to comprehend, definitely. But honestly, I'm grateful for it all, Nikki. I'm so grateful, because I wouldn't actually be here in Mallorca, having actualized a huge dream of my life, to be living so authentically with my husband and to be co-creating at such a powerful, abundant, authentic, soul-led place. You know, I would have been doing it all completely different. And also, I do still definitely open space for this miracle. Like, I totally, like, believe it down, deep down. Like, I know it somehow, some way or one other. Like, even if it's a whole posse of dogs, I am already a mother. And yeah, my goodness, it's just like, thank you for everything that you're sharing and saying, because while I'm so grateful to open this space for other people to listen into, I feel like, oh, it's just such a treasure to be able to have this present conversation with you. So thank you. And I'd love to offer to our listeners, for people who are really in that place that we've been in of the trying and the trying and the trying, and I would love to be able to let go, but I can't. How could I let go? How do we begin? And do you have any support to offer, Nikki?
Well, I mean, it's one of the most common questions I get asked, but there's no tangible strategy to surrendering. I think really we have to get to that point when we realize that holding on is actually more painful than taking the risk to let go into the unknown. And often, you know, we will hold on for a long time. Like, I often use this phrase that we'll leave claw marks in everything, because we are literally gripping onto what we think it should be. But I think at the end of the day, the first few times is always the hardest, because really what we are letting go into feels like a death. And it really is a death in some way. You know, in my book, I write the book in three sections. I start with endings, then it's love, and then it's birthing. And really, in my experience, that's always the process of maturation. It begins with something that we're willing to let die, whether that's a story, whether that's a picture of who we think we should be, whether it's an idea, a belief, whatever it is like, are we ready to let it end? And so in letting it end, we step into the unknown. It is really the unknown. And the first time, it does feel like a death somehow. And so it requires a conscious decision to trust in something bigger than ourselves. And so for those of you who are at this point, it's like, first, I want to ask you, if you look at how much pain it is to hold on, have you had enough? Because you know, it's really up to you now to be the one to choose another way. And then when you're ready to let go, make the decision inside of your heart, because it happens inside. Make the decision inside of your heart to trust that when you let go, you are stepping into something bigger. And it's a conscious choice. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't feel painful. You still feel grief. There's so much emotion to process. But I know for me, making that decision is fundamental, because it kind of anchors me in to an intention that I'm now opening into. You know, it's like, I choose to trust even if it feels impossible. And something happens. You know, I've actually seen some scientific data that when we make those moments, like, there's the activity in the right side of the brain actually increases, and it which opens to the possibility of new insight that we just didn't have access to before. That there's something that happens inside human beings that we make when we make the decision to trust in the unknown. And it's like something just, like, the muscles relax, the heart relaxes, the energy relaxes. And I can only say that miracles tend to happen. And I've seen it enough now to know it's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
That, you know, who we think, so much of who we think we are, well, I'm going to even say all of who we think we are, and I use the word think, is really just what we've been conditioned. And you know, we think about it, like how much of that is, you think how much there is, like our parents' stories, our education, every magazine we've ever read, every movie we've ever watched, our ancestors' stories, like how much do we already come in with that dictates what we think is possible and who we think we're meant to be? And all of that is just, it's just stuff we've absorbed.
Yeah.
And my God, how much of that is actually true and authentic to us? Well, we'll never really know unless we're willing to let go. And that's where the miracles happen. It's like when you're ready to let go of what you think you know and step into the unknown, woof. It gets very interesting. It's like, wow, I didn't even know that this was possible.
Yeah, it's powerful stuff. And I love, along with that, something that I really helped me so deeply at this time was this affirmation. And it is, I open myself to that which is most right for me. Because it's less, as you're speaking about, this conditioned mind of how we think it should look like, and they've all got kids and that means I'm lacking and I'm failing and they've got the bigger house and they're going, you know, all of that. Well, no, maybe that's not my path. Maybe it is, but I'm opening myself to that which is most right for me, and it keeps me open, and it's less about, exactly as you're saying, this thinking, and just actually, well, what is the possibilities? And my goodness, maybe possibly it's even better than I could have even thought up in my little old mind.
It always is. I mean, I say that knowing that, you know, it's extremely painful to go through what you're going through, right? Of course it is. And you are being shown something that you couldn't see before.
Absolutely.
Right. Like what you and Will, I think that's your husband's name, right? What you guys are doing is so beautiful to witness. Yeah. And it's inspiring for human beings right now to see the possibility of birthing a life beyond what inherently seemed safe or inherently seemed like it needed to be one way. And it's like, actually, I think we need more and more examples of that, of witnessing somebody birthing a dream. Beyond what we've been conditioned and taught is the only way it needs to be, right? I just trust life. I trust life so much. And I think life is much more masterful than we are.
And so, Nikki, I know that you have just come back, I think, from the Costa Rican jungle, where I was following your stories and very much obsessing all over it. Like, I need to be in on this now. And you were giving us little sneak peeks, and people were rigged up to all sorts of crazy machinery almost. And you were speaking about how it was all about recoding and technology and marrying, possibly using technology and quantum with spirituality. I'd love for you to share with us where you've been, what it was. Tell us your story.
Well, I mean, it was really mind-blowing, and it was, of course, the perfect time. You know, the retreat was called Infusion, and the whole intention of the retreat, led by Regan and Wampa, was to infuse ancient wisdom with the future, the past with the future, which is what I believe is the threshold point that we're at right now in the collective, in humanity. It's really like, how much can we take this ancient wisdom from the spiritual teachers and the plants and, you know, the really old paradigm way of transforming and healing and evolving, and how can we now infuse it with what the future is offering? And that was what that retreat was about. So we would literally be working with the highest tech of quantum technology. We'd be working with brain caps, which literally work with your brain waves. We worked with plasma beds, your higher self plasma beds, so working with coding on your higher self. We were working with Tesla coils and med beds. You know, most of this technology, you know, the people who've created it have had like 12 death threats on their life, because if these things came out, it would literally put Big Pharma out of business. So, because they're so powerful in their healing qualities. And so we were working with all of this while simultaneously microdosing with plant medicine, and diving into deep ceremony. So we would microdose and then go into the teepee and sit around the fire, and then we would go on the machines. And it was absolutely mind-blowing. And there were only six of us that were lucky enough to have been invited, and all six of us are essentially leaders in our field. So it was quite profound to be in a room with five other powerful women, and then Regan and Wampa. And we really were all just kind of committing ourselves to opening to the future of, you know, this new paradigm that I believe we are at the beginning of birthing. And yeah, it was really powerful.
And so for anyone out there, like, what the heck is she talking about? So what was it like in terms of the felt experience? Like, what did you go through?
I literally experienced myself expanding way beyond what I thought my limits were. I actually had a moment when I was witnessing myself stretching and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it was showing me things like, it was showing me really what kind of coding that I carry in my core, that my purpose is here to really, is to lead the divine feminine and help women come home to their wombs and come back to the earth. And it showed me things like, the biggest lesson for me throughout the whole week was, how is it really safe to be my full whole self? Because what I started to experience through the process was how big I am. And I don't mean that on an egotistical level. I mean, we are all that big. But it really, wow, I was like, oh my God, I feel like a massive eagle. Like, there was this one point where I used to be a singer. And I literally, ancestors came down and told me that it was now time for me to be working with sound frequencies. And then in the next day in the ceremony, this sound started coming out of my mouth, and I was singing like medicine songs that was moving sound frequency, like alchemy. And it was just me starting to experience myself in my power.
Wow.
And wow, it brought up a lot of fear and shame, and surrender was a big lesson through the week for me, because I kept saying, is it really safe to be my full self? Is it really? Because I mean, how deep does this go for us? Like, particularly women, like how many of us were witches once and that were burnt once? Like, how many of us have been through this multiple times and then been shut down? Mm. So there was this kind of enormous growth spurt that I was going through, whilst also having to feel and release a lot of shame and fear. You know, I had to go re-look at the little girl that was, you know, at the wrath of my mentally ill mother, and feel those feelings again. Like, it was very deep work. But I do believe that this is our work now. Like, I think that we are all here at a time where we're being invited to remember how big we are. Mm. And it's much bigger than these systems that have been, that we've been boxed in. It was way bigger. Mm. And so for us, for me, it felt like I was there for that learning so that I could then, pass it on. Really, that was what it was for me.
Absolutely amazing. I wish I was there. Can you share for people who don't know who Regan is a little bit about maybe where they could find this retreat or more information?
Well, I don't think the retreat is advertised, or I think it was a private thing. So we literally got a call and said,
"Wow! Oh my god!
Yeah,
what a call to receive!"
It was, and it was really magical because I had already planned my trip to come to the UK, and there was literally only 7 days that I could have added on Costa Rica, because I was already going to Costa Rica because I'm leading a retreat there in November. So I was going there for 3 days to look at the venue that I'm leading the retreat. And there was only this 7 day slot that it could have happened. And I got this call from Regan and she was like, "Yeah, it's those days."
Of course. Of course it is.
I think also what was so profoundly powerful is that these two are creating the future. They have bought 600 acres of Costa Rican jungle. I've never even seen anyone vision this big. They've literally bought 3 mountains of wild Costa Rican jungle, and they are birthing a community where people can buy land. On one mountain, it's where the residents are buying land. On another mountain, it's like an ascension spa and like really kind of high tech evolutionary transformational stuff. And then on the third mountain is a school that they're building, a new education system for Amazing. The future of children. And I can tell you, when I drove into the nest, that's what it's called, something happened in my body to even see how big somebody can vision. Because I thought that I visioned big, but whoa, I was like, wow, yeah. I am like a baby in yeah. this. Like, I was so blown away by the commitment to birthing the future.
Yeah.
And for me, that was so inspiring to me. And the kind of leadership that I think is really needed right now for us to move through this transition that we're moving through.
And for anyone who's listening, who is feeling really inspired by this conversation, or they've obviously, everyone who's listening is here for a reason, and they found themselves to this conversation really at their most perfect timing. But for anyone who maybe they feel it, but they're not sure about spirituality, maybe they're getting caught up in the mind or any conditioning around it. For anyone who says they're not spiritual, what can you say? What's your insight on spirituality and the spirit?
I think the first thing I want to say is that spirituality is not inherently a thing. Like, we've been kind of conditioned to think it's a thing, and it comes kind of tied in with religion or tied in with images that we've seen of gurus, or there's so many stories and things that come attached to the word. So that's the first thing I want to say, is that all of that is just what we've been taught. Inherently, we are all deeply spiritual beings, because spirituality is not something we need to get. It's not something we need to find. When we are able to truly be in the present moment with life, when we are really in the here and now, feet on the earth, connected to our hearts, beyond the noise of the mind, it is infinite. We experience infinite time and space. There are no limits. And that is not woo-woo. That's fact. That's science. That's actually what is available to all of us when we slow down enough to come out of the noise of the mind and we connect back to the present. And for me, that's always where I come back to. You know, it's not like seeking something outside of ourselves. It's what is here now. It's just that we miss it because we get so caught up in the noise. And sometimes it can be as simple as putting your feet on the earth and coming back to your breath. Sometimes it can be as simple as looking, slowing down enough to look up at the sky and really take in the magic of the sky. Like, wow, when was the last time I really looked at it? You know, these moments are inherently spiritual moments because it's available and accessible to us always. And so, you know, we don't need to search for it. We are it.
I love that. And it's, I love the simplicity of how you just shared there, because it brought me right into it, to be and to appreciate this very present moment with you. And yeah, that simplicity of just to feel yourself in the moment and to just be with the breath, or to acknowledge something beautiful like the sky or yourself or your breath. And I just was called there to share. I shared about it on my Instagram this morning. And while it was two things almost at once, because you're saying, you know, really what's important is it's not looking outside of ourselves and like, I need something big to like show me spirit, that it's always like here and now in this very present moment. I had two moments together last night where I was on my roof and I was on my own, and it was about, well, I know exactly what time it was because I looked when it happened, because I had asked a specific question. I've got a dear sister who's going through something at the moment, so I really wanted to clock the time. And so it was at 10:23 p.m. last night, and I was on my roof in Mallorca, and it's beautiful because the stars here are just amazing. And I was just looking at the stars, and really, this time last night, I've got these two massive palm trees in my garden. I'm so lucky. And I see them as like the keepers, but also a representation almost of me and Will, like taking care of this land at this moment. They're like really symbolic for me. And my commune with them last night and with nature really changed in the moment. It went from this really practiced thing of me doing something where I like to go out, I take note of the trees, I take note, you know, it's like me doing and grateful, grateful, grateful. And last night something really shifted where words don't do it any justice, but I was with the trees. I know this might not sound quite right, but I was just with the trees and the trees were with me. And there's no language to explain how it felt, but it was absolute union. And while I know this academically and have felt it spiritually, but this was one of the most profound moments, was that I was them and they were me. And so, wow, that was really beautiful. And I was just like kind of breathing and feeling and being. And then I was like, oh gosh, there's a big old sky up there. And it was really black with all the amazing stars. And again, instead of this like, oh, there's the stars, I'm so grateful, it was this experience of being. And so it's just like this commune is how I can describe it, this like being with, being part of, realizing I was it and it was me. And so I was lying on the roof, and I then, my friend popped into my mind, and also at the same time, like me and Will's situation, and will we, won't we, will we ever have children? And because this is also related to her child. And so it was this combined thing, and it popped into my head. And then I said to myself, show me a miracle. I swear on my life, I would not lie about this. I swear wholeheartedly on my life. I said, show me a miracle within the minute, not 30 minutes later, within that minute, came to the sky, not a shooting star. It was like a comet or a meteorite or just a miracle that cannot be explained. This huge, powerful light came towards me and then filled up the sky. And a shooting star is like small, and it lasts like 1 second and then it's dissolved. This journeyed across the sky for about 4 seconds, and it was bright blue. And the tears came, and the laughter came, and of course, I'm in this crazy, amazing experience of being a human here in this universe, and never underestimate it. And so then it was so funny and I was laughing at myself, like, how could I ever underestimate you? How could I ever underestimate you? And this life and myself. And it was not, I believe in miracles. Oh my goodness, my whole body is buzzing with life right now. And for me, it was just like, never, ever, ever doubt or miss how, and this ties back to how you started this podcast, how sacred this very existence and your life being here right now is. Oh my goodness, it was there in a second. Boosh, biggest signal, biggest message. Yes. No.
So beautiful. And you see, the thing is that we have moments like that available to us every day, but we miss it because we get so lost in here.
Yeah.
And it's, you said being, it's like when we slow down enough to just be, and the magic that just poofs right there in front of us, you know, it's unquestionable, the magic that is of life. And it is, I often feel like it's the secret that I just want the whole freaking planet to know. Because when we work with people and they have that breakthrough and they come out of the story, this is the same pivotal experience they all talk about. Oh my God, like I just sat with the trees and I can't believe how beautiful it all is. You know, like I am part of that tree. Like I am life itself. You know, I always say, you know, we're not a someone in a life, we're life being spoken through someone.
Ah, I love that.
And we get so lost in the someone that we forget that actually who we are is life. That's who we are.
How powerful is that? And so, Nikki, what are your spiritual practices? Like, do you have a daily spiritual practice? Is it beyond that? Is it beyond language? Can you share with us?
I do have certain practices that I do, but inherently, I would say that the root to my spiritual connection is that my main priority is always my connection to Source. So every day, that is my priority. And each day, it may be different how that connection wants to be deepened. It may be that I need to just get off the screen and go and be immersed in nature. Nature is a big deal for me. Or it may be that I need to sit and meditate and be quiet and still with my breath. You know, I write, I sing, I use cards, all those sorts of things. But really, the doing of all these things are really about the same thing, which is deepening my connection. And you know, it's interesting being back in London because I live like you. I now have surrounded myself by just nature in New Zealand. And so it's really strange for me to be just surrounded by concrete and buildings and cars and people. And I was like, oh, how do I deepen my connection here? And it's actually been very good for me to keep asking, right, how do I deepen my connection today? Yesterday I canceled my afternoon and I just went and walked in Victoria Park and I just literally just sat under a tree and just breathed. This morning I sat and I do a Hara meditation. And again, that's my connection. So for me, it always comes back to that. It's like, okay, how can I deepen my connection today to Source? And I think also for me, my heart is a really big part of my aliveness. If my heart feels closed, then that shuts off my connection. So anything that feeds my heart off, I really have prioritized play, joy, having space and time without needing to be somewhere. These sorts of things are now part of my everyday life. because it just feeds and nourishes my heart, that allows me to feel, you know, this beautiful expansive connection. So yeah, it used to be practices, and now the practices are really just an extension of the same commitment.
And you've been speaking a little bit throughout this episode about the time that we're living in, and it's weight and importance and all of the stuff. And I really, really was so grateful to you through lockdown, as I'm sure I shared via our DMs when we were speaking, and that really divisive, polarized time when I felt like I was so misunderstood by society. There you were, of course you were. There you were, standing in truth, in union, in love. And this probably what you're speaking about, the heart, coming from the heart space rather than I'm right, you're wrong. And do you have any insight to share about this time that we're living in, its turbulence, its challenges, and what it maybe represents from your perspective?
Well, I don't know what I think, I don't know what it represents, but I do believe that we as a species are going through an enormous phase of maturation. And really that is that we are being taken and invited to go through a huge phase of evolution. And with that, we are, as a collective, are having to come face to face with the darkest sides of humanity. And one of the hardest things to confront is that those dark sides of humanity are inside each one of us. And really the hard piece is, can we start to face these parts of ourselves and do the healing around it so that we can bring it back to wholeness? Now, you know, if I can go on a very deep kind of level with this and say that really all of reality is a projection of what is happening inside human being. So, you know, we could blame it on the madness on the WEF or Klaus Schwab or all these people, which, you know, I'm sure they're participating. But at the end of the day, on a much deeper level, on a consciousness level, we are being faced with a mirror to where we are as a species. Mm-hmm. And so if you know, with that, it's extremely confronting. And some people are taking that confrontation, and it is the beginning of a huge transformational process. I know more people than ever before that are going through huge, huge spurts of growth, massive. It feels quick and instant and fast and constant. And then I know people that are fighting and resisting, and it is so painful, and getting angrier and going more inside themselves. And so really, you know, we are now at a kind of the beginning point of what I would say we're in, like a massive ceremony right now. Mm-hmm. And those who are ready to surrender will have huge healing. And those who are resisting and fighting are going to be in a lot of suffering, I think. And so what's our responsibility? I believe that this is the time more than ever that we remind each other more and more of what our true power is, that you know, one of the most painful things about what's been happening is the dehumanizing of human beings. That's why I stood up and I spoke. I couldn't bear it another moment. Mm-hmm. I deliberately didn't talk about follow this story or you should be on this side. I'm not interested in persuading anybody to believe another story. What I am interested in is how we have been conditioned to dehumanize each other. And we dehumanize each other with all these categories that we put human beings in. They're in that box, they're this, they're that, that we've done it for decades. We've done it for generations with color of skin and gender and society and success and money and class. We've done it forever. And what it does is that it keeps us in this inherent, unnatural state of separation. And it makes it easier to forget that we are all one species. And I could not sit back and let that happen another moment. I had to humanize the people that were being dehumanized. And because if we can have a moment to remember, even for a moment, that the person in front of us, even when we have such different views and such different opinions, that the person in front of us has a heart and has life moving through them and has a story, and it's actually no different to us. Something changes inside of us. That separation starts to dissolve. And I believe that we are in an opportunity right now to have that level of healing with each other. And unfortunately, a lot of shadow needs to come out in order to be confronted with what we have been doing to each other. What's happening now in society is no different to what's happened in the past. Cycles just keep repeating themselves. It's the same cycle. But what is happening now is there is a massive shift in consciousness taking place. As dark as the dark is, wow, the light is big. I can't even believe how much light is coming through and how many people are committing themselves to their evolution and their consciousness. As I've had moments when I've been scared for my children, but many more moments when I'm like, wow, I am so honored to be alive right now to witness this firsthand with my own eyes. This is happening. This shift is happening, and I want to be part of it, you know? So if you think that, you know, the government is to blame or all these systems are to blame, they're just an extension of something much bigger that is taking place right now.
Oh, Nikki, I could just do this all day, to be honest. Thank you so much for sharing that and how powerful, and what you said there about really when at the end of the day, if we can meet each other from the heart, really, and recognize that within one another, that no matter how differently you see this, I'm a human being here with you and you're a human being, and heart to heart, ultimately we're the same.
Absolutely. I said this, I remember when the war in Ukraine started happening, and I remember saying on my Instagram, what makes you feel more compassionate to a Ukrainian immigrant, a refugee, than what you could feel to the homeless man that you walk past at the supermarket? What in your mind distinguishes which one of those people are worthy of your compassion? When actually we're all human beings, you know? And I remember people would write to me and say, wow, it made me stop and just talk to the homeless man. Or it's like it's so easy to forget that actually there is no difference between you and me and him and them. It's like we just have different stories, but we're the same species. And that I teach my children that. I teach my daughter that every day. It's like, look at the human being. Don't look at what the behavior, don't look at the words, look at the human being.
How powerful is that? And so as we wrap up this conversation, Nikki, thank you. I've loved it. It's just passed so quickly. I would love for us to close by maybe sharing a practice or something, a tip, a tool that our listeners can take away with them.
I think the greatest gift that we can give to ourselves is our own self-awareness. When we know ourselves, then we inherently can be centered and present and grounded. And we can build trust in ourselves and an internal safety in ourselves. When we have those things, then nothing out there can control us. In fact, that is when we become powerful and sovereign. So for me, it's like, make time every day to meet yourself. Mm. Every day. You are your greatest gift. If you can't spend time to meet yourself today, how can you meet other people? How can you see another human being if you can't see yourself? So just make time every day to sit with your journal and meet yourself, or sit on a cushion and close your eyes and breathe and meet yourself. Like, make as if you would go on a date. It's like every day, 10, 15 minutes, meeting where I am and who I am today. Because when you deepen that, that is the fundamental route to everything else becoming more alive for you.
Your self-awareness is your greatest gift. Amazing. Let's leave them with that. And Nikki, for everyone who wants to connect with you, can you share where we can find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram, Nikki_Clinch. You can head to my website, www.nikkiclinch.com. I lead like a multiple offering of programs, transformation programs, and I've got a retreat coming in November in Costa Rica. Anybody wants to come to the jungle? We've got a beautiful retreat that I'm doing there called Being Infinite. And yeah, you can find me on my podcast as well, Soul Surgery, which is everywhere that you can find podcasts. Oh, and my book as well, Surrender. If you're ready to dive into the journey of surrender, then you can find that book anywhere that sells books as well.
Thank you, Nikki. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And see you next time on the Alchemy of Life podcast. Thank you.